The Kina of Zechor Asher Asa Tzar Bifnim is numbered as 19 in the Art Scroll edition that I'm using. The Zechor Lavram edition, it's on page 226. This is one of the kinos of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, perhaps our greatest composer of kinos as well as piyutim. And in classic Rabbi Elazar HaKalir style, it's packed with psukim from different parts of Tanakh and references to Midrashim. Of course, it also has a poetic structure. As the Art Scroll itself notes, each set of two lines begins with the opening word of a sentence from Eicha chapter 5, going in order, followed by a letter that forms an alphabetical acrostic. So the first line, Zechor, that's the opening word of chapter 5, and then the word Asher has an Aleph beginning it, and then the next one, Nachal Asenu, and then a Beis, Be'es, and so on, going down through this. Why exactly does Rabbi Elazar HaKalir choose chapter 5 of Eicha, for this? So it's a powerful chapter. It's a first-person description of one's own suffering. You see the first-person description also in chapter 3 of Eicha, but that chapter is actually, a lot longer. Also, chapter 5 is only about suffering. There's no vidui. There's no acknowledgement of sins that we've committed. The closest you come is Pasuk Zayin, sentence 7, which talks about the sins of our ancestors, not our own. So this chapter really fits the theme of the Kina, which is calling on Hashem to see our suffering and respond. To me, the most interesting line in this Kina is actually the concluding line, as we'll see. But just to go through the body of the Kina first, the flow is pretty clear. We ask Hashem two questions, and Rabbi Elazar HaKalir offers answers for our questions. The opening three paragraphs, meaning Zechor, Yisomim, and Al, it's really eight, it's really six, I should say, of these, two-line sets, describe the villainy of Titus, the Roman general, when he invaded the Beis HaMikdash, when he invaded the Kodesh Kadashim, the Holy of Holies. This is much discussed and recorded in Gemara and Gittin, as well as Eicha Rabbah. And our first question comes through here. It's the question of Rasha V'Tovlo. How could such a wicked person escape punishment? And there's this graphic description of Titus with his terrible sins in the Kodesh Kodashim, in the Holy of Holies. There's a lot of arrogance here in him, and actually some parallels, interestingly, between his language and that of Sanherib, the Assyrian king who exiled the 10 northern tribes. Especially, there's a line at the end of the third paragraph, the Mitzrayim line, which the Art Scroll translates it as Titus saying, Hashem beat Egypt, but I can beat Hashem, despite the downfall of Egypt, the other nations that he conquered, and so on. But Rav Soloveitchik, when he read this Kina, explained the line differently. He said that what Titus is saying is, I beat Egypt, I can also beat you, which is what Sanherib said as well regarding Hashem. So our first question emerges in those opening paragraphs, asking how can such a wicked person escape punishment? Then the next set, paragraphs 4 to 7, starting with Avosenu, expresses our shock at what Titus did, and it asks our second question. We brought karbanos for you, Hashem. We brought kitares, incense, for you. Wasn't this building special for you? You certainly seem to think it was special. Nadav and Avihu were killed for far less than what Titus did. And, we had these 93 clay shares, these 93 implements that we used every day to serve you in the Beis HaMikdash. How could you allow this to happen? And then you get paragraphs 8 to 10, starting with Shavas Sotein. It's at the bottom of 228 in the Art Scroll edition that I'm using, where Rabbi Elazar HaKalir answers both questions. He says, Hashem has abandoned the building. What Titus does there doesn't matter. And the building is no longer special to God. He says, Nutash Midok, right? First of all, 1 second. Aki Nutash Midok Armon. There it is. At the end of the Shavas line, the palace has been abandoned. Hashem is no longer there. He's Tzagach Ar Kosleinu. He's standing behind the wall, an image from Shir Hashirim, from Song of Songs, where it's about Hashem looking upon us with love. But here it's Hashem being behind the wall and abandoning us and abandoning his own building. As the line says, Lo Rav Rivo. He's not willing to fight his own fight. Forget our fight. note, reference here to the Western Wall being left standing. The Western Wall that we have today is a retaining wall of Har HaBayis, of the Temple Mount, not of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a lot of discussion about why the Western Wall, not for right now. Then the ending, Hashiveinu and Ki. In those last two paragraphs, we cry out to Hashem to act, and you have this terrible story that's also found in the Gemara and the Medrash of the boys and girls who were captured to be brought to Rome for abuse, and their decision to jump into the sea, and the expectation that Hashem would bring them back. But then you get this surprise ending, a voice from the heavens using words that Yochanan Kohen Gadol rejected, meaning, this line of Ubas Kol Nishma'a Ura Lama Sishan. Rav Soloveitchik, he would read this kina, at least for the several years of recordings that I listened to. He would comment on different parts of the kina, but I never heard him explain this line. This line in which a voice from the heavens, a bas kol, a small heavenly voice, is heard saying, Ura, wake up, Lama Sishan, why are you sleeping? You know, these words come from Tehillim, and they've always been problematic. They come from Tehillim chapter 44, excuse me, Perek Mem Dalet, sentence 24. They're part of a section in which the B'nai Korach, to whom that chapter is credited, describe our suffering, and we cry out to Hashem saying, how come you don't defend us? Wake up, why do you sleep? There's a Mishnah, it's in Maaser Sheni, the fifth perek at the end, and as well as at the end of Sota, chapter 9, that says that in the second Beis HaMikdash, somewhere on the second century before the Common Era, the period of the Greeks, Yochanan Kohen Gadol halted the Ma'orin, or the challengers. The Gemara, it's in Sota, Daf Mem Ches, it's in the Yerushalmi, in Maaser Sheni, and in Sota, the Yerushalmi there, and the Gemara there, says that there were Levi'im who used to sing this pasuk. They used to sing this verse, that, Ura Lamasi Shan, God, wake up, why do you sleep? Calling on Hashem to help us against the Greeks. They were the Ma'orin, they were challenging God. And Yochanan Kohen Gadol stopped the practice, because he said, God doesn't sleep. This line is heretical. So, of course, you should ask, right, how does Tehillim have the line if it's heretical? On the one hand, Yochanan seems to be correct. This line actually sounds a lot like Eliyahu on Mount Carmel taunting the prophets of the Baal, cry out louder, maybe your God is sleeping. The art scroll is actually so disturbed by the line that it changes it. It says, awaken, why do you seem to sleep? It doesn't want to say, why do you sleep? At the same time, we have a Medrash Tehillim, Perek Pei Gimel, which describes Tzadikim invoking this sentence before God. And Levim invoked it, and look at it, you know, it's over here also. So, two answers for how it could be in Tehillim. The Rambam, in his commentary to the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, suggests that the Levim are different there because they're expressing it rudely to God. As it appears in Tehillim, it's not meant to be expressed rudely. That's one answer. The Maharsha on the Gemara in Sota, the Alei Tamar on the Yerushalmi, both say that the answer may be that this is a break glass in case of emergency type of sentence. It is only meant for when we are in Galus, we are in exile, we're under an existential threat. It was inappropriate in the times of the Beis HaMikdash despite the Greeks. It's like, Kuma Hashem v'yafutsu oyevecha. This is not something that you're meant to use in just any circumstance. It's meant for a case of desperation. Okay, so that explains a little bit about how this line is in Tehillim and how the Levium used it. But let's go back to our kina. What is Rabbi Elazar HaKalir doing with this line here? Wake up, why are you sleeping? Which Yochanan Kohen Gadol rejected, and he's putting it in Hashem's mouth. Right? A bas kol, a voice. Is that what he's doing? So I think there are a couple of ways we could read what Rav Elazar HaKalir is doing here. Number one is that he's saying the voice is turning the heretical words, wake up, why are you sleeping, back on the Jew. Hashem is turning to the Jewish people and saying, why do you sleep? You should return to me. Like the ending of the next kina, in which Hashem is going to rebuke us for mentioning our suffering, but not our sins, right? Ruach HaKodesh Lemulam Marim, Hoy Al Kol Shechinai Haroim, Mashikra Am Modiim, Veis Asher Asu Lo Modiim. The Jews talk all about what happened to them. They don't talk about what they did. So, Ura Lama Sishan is a call to us, saying, it's your fault. So, you know, take your art scroll and don't read it as why do you, capital Y, seem to sleep. It's why do you, lowercase y. That's one way we could read this. The other way, I think, is that Hashem is talking to God, so to speak, and saying, look how we have suffered. Look at the suffering of those children sent to Rome. And Hashem adopts those quasi-heretical words to ask himself, how could I sleep? Hashem is actually, in Rabbi Elazar HaKalir's vision, moved to respond and to help us. That may be another way to read this ending.